It's perfectly true what Mr. Willie's been saying. We are having a wonderful time tonight, and you're singing so wonderfully well. I think it's just marvelous to hear you sing as you sing, especially on a Monday. But after all the washing, ironing, and making Irish stew, and I don't know all you've been doing, and some people have been trying to wear me out on that shuffleboard today. Never mind, I think the Canadians still win. Did we win after all? Well, that's what I sure you would, after you got rid of me. That's true. We're very happy about that. This is a joy having you. And we trust, Brother, so blessed you'll be in the kingdom to come night after night, encourage others to come along with you. Now let's sing our chorus, and shall we? You haven't sung it for some time. Do you believe he is precious from having not seen we love? We don't know it. We just sing it once, then you sing it along with us. Amazing. I see people singing tonight that I've never seen sing all last week. I think that's marvelous. God is really working, isn't he? We've got a song in our hearts, so let us sing it once more. Not tonight. We're going to sing now, Lord, make my heart like temple, cleansed, pure, and white from all sin. Remember, that's the theme for tonight. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Didn't really like this chorus, so we'll sing it right out, shall we? Singing, so that's marvelous too. Now, I'm quite convinced you only cleaned your teeth today. I can see that. So that's wonderful. Everyone, now let it go all together. And it once more, and the girls sing down as far as Calvary's cross, and all we men folks come in, and the Lord will rule the game. When you come to give me lunch and victory, sing with all the emphasis and power you've got, will you? All right, it's a change of position. You're so comfortable there, and after a busy day, I don't know what might happen, so you better arrive all together, all right? People suggest we should put these choruses on to a cardboard so you can see the words as you're going along. But that's a lazy way to do it, I think. Now, you people are so bright here at Park of the Palms, you don't need that. You see, you memorize things so quickly. I think it's just marvelous the way you do that. So please open your Bibles now, then, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians and the 6th chapter. And please remember, the theme is still, what is or who is a Christian? We have been finding a Christian is one, remember, who is a child of God, who is an heir of God, who is redeemed, who is an influence, and who is a soldier, and tonight the Christian is a temple. And we just see what says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Now remember, Paul is writing to the saints at Corinth. They are children of God. They have been born again by the Holy Spirit. In a word, they are Christians. They are Christ's ones. And yet he writes in the form of a question here in verse number 19, he says, what? Know ye not? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, maybe just go back over these two verses. Follow them ever so closely. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and those last three words, which are God. A Christian realizes that he's no longer his own, that he belongs to another. He's married to another. He's united to a living Lord. Thank God for that wonderful revelation to your heart and my heart that tonight we belong to the living God. And so says Paul here, what, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you? Remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 said to his own, I love that 14th chapter, don't you? I call it the cozy corner chapter. And there the Lord got his own gathered around him. Oh, how he loved to do that. And then he unburned his heart to them and said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Now I think these four little words, I will come again, should be written in gold, don't you? Oh, how they stand out in all the luster and brilliance and glory against the black background of this present day, when apostasy is abounding on every hand, the clenching we see all around us, love of many waxing cold, the faith is tarnished, the visions become dim, and beloved, it is wonderful to know, and in the midst of all the darkness can always be felt, to see the glimmer of light, the bright and morning stars just about to appear. And remember, the morning star always appears when the night at its blackest. And the morning star always shines in all its brilliance and glory in the blackest point. And my friend, I think we're in the blackest point of the church's history. I believe the coming of the Lord is imminent. The coming Lord is very near. And this Christ said, if I go, I will come again. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. I was going to teach you a new chorus tonight. His coming is as certain as the dawn. I'm waiting for the resurrection morn. He's coming back again. His words so very plain. His coming is as certain as the dawn. These are the words. I'll teach you the chorus tomorrow night, if the Lord be not come. And of course the thought is, if the Lord comes, we won't need the chorus. Eh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen? Oh, the joy. To rest to remember he is coming, he's on the way. The joy of it. But now in that very same chapter, he says to them, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he will not come. But when I go, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter. Not another of another kind, but another just like himself. Now listen, the Lord gave us three promises without any precept. Now we got a lot of promises in the Word of God, but there's a precept or there's a condition. But here are three without any precept or condition at all. What are they? Remember Christ said, I will send the Comforter. Then he said, I will build my church. Then he said, I will come again. The past, the present, and the future. In the past, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter. Thank God for the fact Christ has gone up and the Holy Spirit has come down. And remember, he indwells each and every believer tonight. I love that. But then at this present sermon, he's building his church. And he said, and I will build my church. Now it's not a building of stone and lime, brick and mortar. Oh no. This church is a living organism, composed of every born-again child of God. It's not a dead organization or a denomination. Beloved, is a living organism. And irrespective of what label you may have on you, if you are in Christ, you are a member of the living church, the church of the living God. Isn't that a wonderful thing to realize that tonight? And he said, I will build my church. And you know something? The church is nearing completion. I'm so happy about that. And one day alone the living stone shall be added to that vast building. And once that living stone is added, the capstone will be put on, and the Lord shall descend from heaven in the shout, in the voice of the archangel, we shall rise to meet him. What a moment that's going to be. And then here's the third point, the third promise, I will come again. I will come again. The one in the past, I will send the Holy Spirit. The present, I will build my church. You know, when you are doing a building, you see buildings going up, you find truckload after truckload of materials being taken to the site. There's a lot of work being done, way down underneath the earth, there's a laying the foundation. A lot of mechanisms brought there, a lot of machinery brought there, a lot of manpower.
But once that church is in that building nearing completion, you find a lot of the men are waiting for another job, a lot of the mechanism has been moved, another site. Why? Because, my friend, there's only one or two stones needed now, only one or two. And, my friend, only those who are doing the finishing touches are required. I want to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were born again. Acts chapter 4, we find again 5,000 souls were born again. Acts chapter 8, great multitude were added to the throng of the redeemed. And that's been going on right down through the ages. But my friend, we don't see them coming out in the thousands, nor in the hundreds today, nor even in the scores. We find one here and one there. But thank God they are coming, and praise God He's still building them in to that vast building, the church. Isn't that wonderful to recognize this? And we bow before Him tonight, and we worship, and we adore. I believe this third one is about to be fulfilled when He said, I will come again. But now, He says in John chapter 14, regarding the Holy Spirit, He said, He shall be with you, and He shall be in you, and that forever. And that forever. He's not coming to spend a weekend, no. Not coming for a vacation. He's coming to indwell, and He'll be in you forever. And now He's saying to the saints at Corinth, He's saying to the saints tonight here at Park of the Park, with all the Bible teaching you've been having, and all the Bible teaching you've had down through the years, He's saying to each one of us tonight, do you know? Do you rely? Has it come to you as a revelation from the Spirit Himself that in you, that your body is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in you? Now, when this truth dawned in upon my spirit light in a double-decker bus back in Birmingham, England, I knew it theoretically, I knew it doctrinally, I knew it scripturally, and I preached it all over the British Isles. But one day, going along that double-decker bus, the truth dawned in upon my spirit light, as the Spirit said to me, you're trying to patch up a man, make a man holy, make a man righteous, cultured, refined. I finished with that man 2,000 years ago. There's not a good thing about you, and I put you on a cross. Now I see you no more as a child of Adam. I see you now in my Son, and He by His Spirit now dwells in your body. And your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in you. When that truth dawned upon me, I shouted a glory in the middle of that bus. I couldn't hold it back. It was a revelation of my own spirit, that the Spirit of God literally lived in me, that He was a living reality and living in me, that my body was the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, has this truth dawned in upon you, my friend, tonight? Has it gripped you? Has it come to you as a revelation? Oh, I pray during these days of conference, each one of us will realize for his or herself this glorious, transforming, revolutionizing truth. What? That Christ, by His Spirit, literally lives in me. Mr. Richard Hill, a man to whom I'm greatly indebted, he and I were ministering at a conference at Hackensack in New Jersey along with John Smart some years ago. Mr. Hill wanted to speak first. And I was so glad because I never heard him preach. He listened to me preaching plenty in and around Long Island, different parts of New York. But I never heard that dear saint of God minister, and I wanted to listen to him. But you know, I was so taken up with his beautiful oratory, his wonderful language, his choice of the English language, his choice of those beautiful, rare words, not a word out of place. Every word, his diction, enunciation, absolutely correct. And I was so taken with his beautiful English, I forgot about what he was talking. And my friend, I was so taken up with this, that near the end of his message, he said these words, it's been in the book all these years. I've taught it in every continent in the world. I know it theoretically. I know it scripturally. I know it doctrinally. But not until 3 weeks ago did it dawn in upon my spirit life that Christ by His Spirit literally lived in me. There's a man getting very near to the end of his journey, and the truth of this wonderful revelation became a reality in his own heart. I changed my message, spoken Galatians 2, chapter 20. It's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. And finished up with the filling of the Holy Spirit, John Smart scrapped his message, and he spoke on a doctrinal aspect of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, may I ask you lovingly, has this truth dawned in upon your spirit life? Oh, you may have been a Christian for many years, and you've never known the power or the joy or the realization of this glorious fact that the Holy Spirit indwells you, that your body, my body, is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in us. This will revolutionize your whole life and ministry. May I pause here one moment? Those are Christians Paul is writing to at Corinth, and write down here tonight at Park of the Palms, the speaker and hearers alike. The same tonight, do we know, has the truth dawned in upon my spirit life that my body, yes, this earthly tabernacle, is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in me? Remember, it said, He shall be with you and He shall be in you. He was with them to Pentecost. At Pentecost, He entered into them. And from that moment, the last child born in the God's family, the Holy Spirit has taken up His abode in the regenerated spirit of man. I wonder, has this truth gripped us tonight sufficiently to cause the joy bells to be set a ringing in our heart, to bring an inner realization of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know the love of God so shed abroad my heart by the Holy Spirit, removing all the debris, all the muck, all that hinder and mar the revelation of Jesus Christ in us and through us. Oh, He longs above everything else to make Christ a living reality in your life and in mine. A young boy, a very fine young fellow, when he was only 18 months old, back in Britain, his father died, leaving him with his mother all alone in the world. The mother worked very hard to give this boy the best education it was possible to give him. He graduated from high school, from varsity, with honors in every subject. He became one of Britain's leading surgeons. A very brilliant doctor. He had added into a high social circle, a social status far beyond his own, and he despised his old mother. He told this young lady who became his wife that he was brought up by a nurse whom he called Faithful Mary, all the time referring to his mother. After marrying and settled in the lovely home, he said to his wife one day, "Darling, I feel indebted to Faithful Mary. She went through a lot for me. I would like her to come here and live with us in our home. There is the attic room. We can give her the attic. The maids are here and they can attend to her." The young wife immediately agreed to his desire for Faithful Mary to come and stay with them in their home. He wrote to his mother and said that he and his wife would like her to come and stay with them in their home, that she should make their home her own. But she was not to be known as his mother, just to be known as Faithful Mary. Now, had I got that letter, I'd just thrown it up and put it in the waste paper basket. But you know what a mother's love is, don't you? A mother goes through any privation, through any injustice, to suffer, my friend, any hardship, just to be near the object of our heart's affection, providing as a boy. As it happened, you know, she wrote back to his office and told him she'd only be too willing to come, even in such circumstances, just be known as Faithful Mary. They went for her in the lovely car, driving along those lovely little English lanes off the main highway, off a long private drive, off that lovely home standing back his own plantation. The butler met them at the door, seated in the reception hall, now this time into the drawing room, and then to the dining room. Now for a nice meal, she's ushered up to the attic. Everything spotlessly clean, linen as white as the driven snow. The maids are there to care for her and to look after her. But it's still the attic. A cloud overshadowed that home, and happiness entered into it. They couldn't understand why. So one day the young wife wending away toward the attic door. The old lady had endeared herself to the heart of the young girl, and she loved to talk to Faithful Mary. She had such a heart so full of understanding and so wise in her decisions. And she just about to talk to her, and she overheard her husband address his mother as mother. She threw herself down to the tea and began to cry. She stopped her young heart out. He asked her, "What's the matter, darling? What's gone wrong?" Says, Harold, why have you deceived me? Why didn't you tell me she was your mother? Had I known, I'd given the best room in my home. Why didn't you tell me?" He confessed his sin to her, and together they wended away across the attic. And the young girl with a flush of tears upon her face bent over, and she kissed the dear old lady and addressed her as mother for the very first time. The mother's brought up, given the right of way in the home. The cloud is removed. Happiness is restored. Why? The mother's got a rightful place. Now may I pause? You may be in your own heart saying tonight, "What a brood of a son." Friend, I partially agree with you. But are we aware tonight that we got someone indwelling us who's more sensitive than a mother? That one is the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you lovingly, which part of your life are you giving Him? If you're born again, He's indwelling you. But have you grieved Him into the attic of your life? You wonder why there's no real joy, no inner serenity, no inner tranquility. You wonder why there's no real desire for Bible study, no real desire for private devotion and prayer. You wonder why your testimony is not convincing and vital. You wonder why there's no fruit in your service. Is it because you've grieved the Spirit into the attic of your life? Oh, child of God, will you from your very heart tonight pray with me all with all sincerity? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit to all to see. Christ only always living in me. Now says Paul, do I know? Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you and you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Please don't go away and say that's Catholic teaching. That's New Testament teaching. I may be allowed to use the names of some of the great theologians of a day gone by. You can take the books of John Nelson Darby, of Kelly, of Lincoln, C.H. McIntosh, of Stoney, of Bennett, Denny and Dennett, or more recent day C.A. Coates. And all those men taught the truth of a deliverance from the power of indwelling sin by yielding to the indwelling Spirit. And the quicker we as God's beloved people get back to realization that truth, there is deliverance for us as we yield to the indwelling Spirit who indwells us. But do I know, as a living reality, as a divine revelation in my own heart, that my body is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in me? May I go, Father? Remember Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Rome, he says, "I beseech you," notice the beautiful language he uses here, He's not conscripting, nor commanding, nor even demanding. In a beautiful language, it says, I beseech. And the word beseech means wooing to win. Wooing to win. I beseech you. Some people tell me Paul was a bachelor. If Paul was a bachelor, he knew an awful lot about women. And the word he's using here is of a young man getting down before his young lady. He's seeking my friend to woo her that he might win her. He's proposing to her. In these particular days, I'm talking about the younger generation, I find they don't need too much coaxing these days, or too much wooing. But the word is, it says, I beseech you. I beseech you. Isn't this lovely? I was in St. Catherine some time ago conducting a wedding there. The bride's father got up at his reception and he said these words, 45 years ago today, I got down on my knees to propose to my bride, and he said, it's taken me all that time to get back on my feet. After 45 years, that's the word Paul's using here, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Isn't that lovely? Seeking to woo them that he might win them. No, if I could only have something of the love of that great man. I got that love. But oh, it may have its way in my life that they reach your heart and mine. I know it's reaching your heart. But oh, we only respond to that love tonight and hear the Lord saying through the chosen vessel, I beseech you, my child. I beseech you, my blood-bought possession. I beseech you, the darling of my own heart. I beseech you, brethren. And that means sisters too. That means brethren with a small b, and it's the only brethren I know. And friend, I want you to get this deep down in your heart tonight. Is I beseech you, therefore, brethren, who are the sinners saved by grace, cleansed by precious blood, those who recognize are no longer their own, they've been bought with a price. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your gift, you hand over your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your intelligent, your logical service. Why is this? You have been pardoned. You've got peace. You've got power. You've got wonderful provision. And the provision I've made for you is all in my beloved Son. Now I have bought you to possess you. And he says, I want you now to present your body to me. Now you may be a Christian for many years. You have never yet come to this place in your life where you have presented your body a living sacrifice. Now listen, this is just as definite and just as deliberate as the moment you receive Christ for salvation is that moment when you present your body to him in wholehearted surrender. By Nicholson, known to so many, Ross McEntee's wife, Joan, and others one night at the Saturday night rally in St. Catharines, quietly bow their hearts and surrender their whole will to Jesus Christ. I didn't know about it until long afterward. When Boy called me one day, he said, Jim, I want to tell you something. Say, that night when you gave that message on complete commitment to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, I never done it, but I did it that night. Others in that same auditorium fought it. They fought it. They thought I was teaching second blessing or something. And some who thought it, my friend, had gone back into the world. One couple I know only too well. Does anybody feel home? Yeah, I often find it happening after a meeting, you know. People invite home, have a sing-song, have a little bit of, to try to get away from the conviction of the Spirit of God. Have a hilarious time, trying to quiet into what the Spirit of God has been doing in their heart. Christians I'm talking about now. Those people did that. And after they'd gone home, the young wife turned to the young man and said, what are you going to do about that message tonight? Oh, he said, I thought you'd talk about that. He said, yes, I know. Well, he said, I'm not surrendering. I'm not giving my life. What happened? He lost his job. He lost their first baby. Boy Nicholson, when he gave his life to the Lord, had nothing. commercial artist working in the basement. But God took that man up, my friend, offered him a job he'd never known before, and a salary he'd never known before. The people here sitting could confirm that. And Boyd's wife, my friend, would not yield her life to that night. She said quietly to Boyd on the way home, "I know what you've done tonight. You've surrendered your life to Christ, haven't you?" He said, "Yes, I have, Niecy. I have. Whatever it costs, I'm going all the way with him." I said, "I haven't." It wasn't too well on that same week. Niecy went down to the studio downstairs, threw her arms around Boyd and said, "Boyd, I too have surrendered." And Boyd Nicholson is one of the finest men we've got in the assembly today. Others that night surrendered their life to Christ. I didn't know about till I was just there recently, speaking to watch night service, and John and his wife were there at that service that night. "Oh, friend, listen. I wonder what you're going to do with your life as a Christian. Some of you are getting on in years, not quite so young as you used to be. Now I'm getting there myself. But may I pause? The evening of your career, the Bible says, there shall be light. And that light can shine brighter and brighter until that perfect day. Oh, friend, may God give us grace to come." Do you know when Paul says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body to God"? He's not talking about God the Father. He's not talking about God the Son. He's talking about God the Holy Ghost. And friend, there is no jealousy in the Godhead. Please get that. There's no jealousy in the Godhead. They're co-equal. And they are co-eternal in perfection and in power. And on night he's saying to you that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The Holy Spirit indwells us tonight, but he wants our bodies. He wants to make real to us, says in 2 Corinthians 4:11, "that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my mortal flesh." Paul says in Philippians 1:20, "whether by life or by death, Christ might be magnified where? In my body." And dear child of God, this is only possible in the measure in which I am willing to hand my whole life over to his control. There's only one life well pleasing to him. It's the life of his beloved Son. And we can only be well pleasing in the measure in which the life of Christ revealed in us. May we come to that place when from our very heart we're going to pray tonight with all sincerity. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me." Bob and Billy Willie, away yonder in Northern Ireland, listen to George Duncan give a message like I'm giving tonight. And only the night before that, they surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. I picked up a book on the bookshelf called Living the Christian Life, written by George B. Duncan. I'd just get it. It's only 50 cents. I read it. Some chapters I reread. And there's one chapter there on the tongue. It's worth the whole book. That was my message for tonight, the temple. May I just bring it to a close, because I haven't got time to go into my acrostic. I'll do that tomorrow morning. T-E-M-P-L-E. Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost within us. And we're going to take up the various members of our body. And we're going to just depend upon the Holy Spirit
to make it real in each of us, that we may recognize all the important fact, know ye not, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. There are those on this campus who are coming to me and saying, Jim, we haven't heard that ministry for 40 years. Young people, I go around the country and they come and say, Uncle Jim, we've never heard that. So many of us know it doctrinally, theoretically, theologically, but all to know the power of the fact of the indwelling Christ. I'm no longer my own. I belong to Him. And we come tonight and we look up and from our hearts we say, take my love, O Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Let us take the first letter T, we may, and the word is tongue. Tongue. And when we recognize our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, our tongue now belongs to Him. Now that's very important. It says back in the book of Numbers, by your tongue you are justified, by your tongue you will be condemned. And thank God for all who tonight with their tongue have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Because the Bible says, every knee will bow to Him, every eye will see Him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Romans 10 and 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, my beloved, tonight, with your mouth, you're going to be justified. With your mouth, you'll be condemned. Remember, my friend, the importance of that little, all-important, vital member of the tongue. I want to close, if I may, just with one little expression. Now, I go on from here tomorrow morning with the letter E down through the acrostic. But here's the word tongue. In Psalm number 24, we'll read these words in the form of a question and an answer. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, not lift up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. I want to see that last one. We'll deal with the others during the course of our talk tomorrow morning. Nor sworn deceitfully. But let me ask you very loudly before I touch this, because there may be someone in a very fine crowd tonight, and you've never yet, with your mouth, openly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. I wonder, will you be wise tonight, and will you turn to your neighbor and say, I know the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have received Him into my heart. If you've never done it, will you do it right now? Just turn and say, I own Him as my Lord and Savior, and I receive Him into my heart. I am going to tell you the joy there will be flooding in your heart tonight. All the ring in your heart tonight. There really will. T. Dr. DeGange and I were in Peterborough, Ontario. Dr. DeGange, a Presbyterian minister, for many years. He's now Secretary of the Medical Mission Board, working out of Toronto.
And in that we're together for a common convention for the deepening of spiritual life. Very godly brother, man I have a great regard for. But this morning in the Bible reading, he used the expression from Psalm 24. He spoke in Psalm 23 one morning. This is Psalm 24. It came to this expression, who shall ascend to the holy hill? He has clean hands, pure heart, never lived up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Say that word swear means to take an oath. And is it as a Presbyterian minister? Many people came, godfather, godmother, the father and mother, and they brought their children to me. I gave that child a name. I baptized that child by sprinkling it. Yet deep down in my own heart I knew that child was not becoming an inheritor of the kingdom of God. I was swearing deceitfully as a minister. Says sprinkling will not make a little baby an inheritor of the kingdom of God. And I knew the very people standing before me, those God, that godfather, that godmother, who with their vow were confessing that they were going to bring up that child in the nurture and admonition of God, bring that child up for God under the principles of the Holy Scripture. Yet I know with doom within me, those people would not keep that vow. He said they were swearing deceitfully. And say, now this convention being held here in this Baptist church, the Baptist pastor is sitting here, others are here today. I myself been baptized by immersion now as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said there are many who come and they go down in these waters and they confess in the very act they've died to sin, they've died to the world, they've died to self, and are rising to walk in newness of life. And they've sworn deceitfully because they've still got the same irritability. They're still irritable. They're still impatient. Still lose their temper. They're still jealous. Give them malice. Backbiting. They're critical. Said, beloved, that's swearing deceitfully. We are professing to put off the old manly deeds and arise to walking years of life. And if we are not walking in years of life, having put on Christ, the bond of love, and walking in the energy of the Spirit of God, then it's by moment then to say we are swearing deceitfully, if not by lip, by attitude, and by demeanor. Then he said, as a pastor, we often have to stand before people who are being married. We ask the man, are you, will you have this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife? Says, I will. Will you have this man to be thy lawful wedded husband? Woman says, I will. Whom John again let no man put asunder. And all the time in their hearts are saying, well, if it doesn't work, I know a good lawyer. Swearing deceitfully. So I bring this message to a close, so I wish I were just starting. Friend, your body, my body, is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost who is in us. He wants your tongue. He wants my tongue. Will you present that tongue to him tonight? Will you? Oh, how vital, how important is that little member. But he wants his tongue to speak forth his praises, to magnify his matchless grace, that tongue, my friend, may be used to the glory of God in announcing the glad tidings, telling forth the story of redeeming love, the word of comfort. Oh, may your word be, as it says, remember, in the book of Proverbs, health-giving. May your voice, my voice, bring health and healing
and comfort and cheer and encouragement, salvation and blessing for his own dear name's sake. God bless you. Shall we pray? Well, that moment of silence, and in that moment, let us just have a quiet word with the Lord for ourselves. And as we've had that moment, we're going to sing very quietly and thoughtfully that verse I've been quoting so often tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Maybe the Spirit of God has put his finger upon some particular area of your life that you've been holding back, has been grieving the Holy Spirit. He's not been having complete sway in your life. But tonight you're going to confess that particular thing, area, and you're going to allow the Spirit of God to come in and take over. The verse as I close. Know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Hence, let us sing thoughtfully and prayerfully. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Once more, very thoughtfully and prayerfully, have thine own way. Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Christ says something you're not very clear about, and if we can help you, don't go away, friend, tonight. We might need to visit you in your home. Do tell us about it. That's why we're here. Others are being blessed. We want you to enter into blessing tonight by yielding your life to Jesus Christ as a Christian. I love to preach the gospel, the positive gospel, to the Christian. Will you respond? God bless you.